Coming up on TMS, bowling alley balls.
A victory for Star Wars jazz.
Apple bans fart apps on the watch.
Wanksy is up to no good.
Tater tots are still a threat.
10 tons of gross.
Jury duty.
Your calls and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Tonight, make dinner special. Stuffing.
Now, Freddy, you cannot puke on the boys and girls, and you can't puke on me.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. You're soaking in it.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. And there's no better way to start the show in the morning than by having Brian lose his Skype call during the intro. Which is exactly what has happened. And we're back. Sorry. Technical issues. Technical glitch. But we're through it. We got it. Brian, you're okay. Everything's fine.
We're all fine here.
No blood. No blood. Right?
No blood.
All right.
There will be router blood spilled in the streets tonight.
Had a bit of an internet issue and we're still... not entirely sure what caused it, but we are all crossing our collective fingers and testicles that everything will be fine now.
Yes.
What's sad is the home listener didn't get to hear all the banter between me and the chat room, which really, in retrospect, was terrible. There was nothing good that came out of that. It was me complaining about insurance plans. That's it.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. I mean, how old, man?
What is this, no agenda?
I'm going to start talking about the Russians in a minute. And yeah, exactly. It is no agenda. Oh, shit. We've turned into no agenda.
The Morning Stream.
Oh, now we've come full circle. Great. We love those guys, by the way. This is not us making fun of them.
We do. We love Adam and John C. DeVore.
Yeah, they're both great. All right. Well, Brian, now that we're here and we don't have the usual time, but I have to tell you this thing.
Yeah, of course.
Because if I don't tell you this, I'm going
to... Dude, we'll make it up on the backside. We'll figure it all out. All right. Oh, I don't know if I like that term.
I don't like it at all. It makes me very uncomfortable. Went to a new bowling alley yesterday for my daughter's partial birthday because my other daughter won't be in town coming Thursday when her real birthday, when Carter's birthday is. Okay. She turns the big 18. So we went to this bowling alley to hang out.
Celebrating early. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a partial birthday. It was a full birthday.
Oh, yeah, full birthday.
It will be a full birthday.
Yeah. This was just like a... Hey, we got a
party.
Yeah, a little early party. We have a big thing planned for Carter on Thursday, but for now, this was like our thing to do. And I was feeling a little grumpy yesterday. My body is not paying close attention to what it should be doing, and so I wasn't really in the mood. But we went. We went to the bowling alley. It was brand spanking new. It is so nice to go into a bowling alley that is literally brand new. Everything's shiny and clean. Nothing smells like smoking hobos. Like, it is awesome. And I know that there's something to be said for a hobo smelling place, like there's a certain ambiance you want, but you're a bowler on the regular.
I am.
Would you prefer
I'm
a nice
tonight? As a matter of fact,
we'll see. There you go. It's bowling night on Tuesdays. Would you prefer a nice, clean bowling center or a dumpy one?
So, I mean, really, the question is: do I prefer the kind of the authentic bowling alley you've always grown up with, kind of feel that you know has that that oil and smoke smell, or would I just prefer to go someplace that feels like it's straight out of Voyager, or
that's a good okay. I like that. I like that.
Give me a clean, new, brand new, pretty bowling alley. 99 times out of 100.
All right, good. I'm with you on that. There is a certain vibe to a dirty old bowling alley that's hard to replicate.
Yeah,
but I think that's just nostalgia kicking me in the butt.
It's way more fun to just walk into one of those places. Mm-hmm. Look around and walk out.
Yeah. And realize the joust machine doesn't work and it has cigarette burns on the joystick.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah. There's a bowling alley that's fairly close to us. What is it called? It's, can't remember. And I won't waste our time in trying to remember. But it's north on Kipling and about 26th Avenue. And it is the old, this is a bowling alley that has not been updated. Their scoring machines are like three-seater Star Trek panels in all black and white Vectron displays.
Wow. That's awesome.
So like it seats three people and then you've got the plastic seats behind it.
Yep.
When your ball hits the lane, mm-hmm. there's kind of an echoey sound like there's nothing on the other side of the wood below them.
That isn't good. Yeah. Well, this place was so new and so clean and just really well decorated. They had giant 80-inch screens at the end of the alley showing various sporting events, depending on what your watch size. Like some NBA finals were on, some baseball stuff was on. Like they have all these cool things. They have a private four lanes where you can rent it out, and there's like pool tables in there and like neon stuff. And it's just cool, like a really cool place. And the food was kind of gourmet, like really well-made food. That was the weird bit, is you could get like I got this turkey wrap that was like as good as any restaurant turkey wrap I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah.
That seems a little
weird.
That seems like they're breaking the bowling alley rule book.
The code, I know. And I thought, well,
it's okay to be clean and have your lasers and your little LED lights and your smoke machines and everything.
But your food's got to be shitty.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they had like I didn't have any, but my wife tells me that the pizza was really good and they had the nachos that weren't just crappy fake cheese on top of round, you know, mass produced, whatever those things were made by slave children in Zimbabwe. It wasn't those. It was like something decent. And so I was really floored by that. The table, instead of having the little plastic chair rows like you always have, they had tables. I think it's to encourage people to get food. But like really nicely set tables behind all of the bowling lanes where you would go and sit and wait, but you could also sit and chill. And I read part of my book there and ate and whatever, hung out. Okay. Anyway, that's all nice and well. We're there. We got there kind of early, so we were kind of some of the few people there. But then it started to fill up. And right next to us, this couple, probably in their early 50s, maybe late 40s, very conservative looking couple. He is still in some sort of sweater vest, and she is looking very conservative. And they're there with their very conservative looking children. And they come and sit down, and I look up at the bowling score thing, and I go, oh no. Because in the big jokey way that my wife and her sisters and my brother-in-law and everybody get sometimes, they're all there. They had named themselves things like boobs. K physical or something like that. I forgot. One of them is balls. Like all these really kind of offensive 12-year-olds would have written this kind of names.
I was gonna say, did Nick type those in? No, is your adult family?
Yeah, adult family. We're writing these in because we're all just a bunch of chuckleheads. And they put all this up there on the board, and I poke Kim and I go, honey, we're gonna pay for that. She's like, what do you mean? I go, look, these people right here, they look like they'll be offended by anything, let alone that. Right. So I just thought we'd wait and see. And at some point, as we're going along, I notice this guy kind of glance over, kind of double take at the board and go, and like, look at it. And he elbows his wife and just in the most disdainful face possible was explaining to her, oh my goodness, can you believe what people are about?
Really?
Yeah, he was having a total, so my total prediction came true. These guys were, you know, they didn't get up and yell or ask people to leave or anything weird like that, but you could tell they were quietly offended.
Because it's nine times out of 10, it's going to be the other thing. Like, oh my God, I'm so worried they're going to look up there. And they may glance up there, but nothing, right? You know the prophecy won't be fulfilled, right? Yeah. The expectations won't be met.
Right, exactly. I wanted to say, be offended by the people in the lane next to you with all their weird hipster handlebar mustache crew that was over there. Be offended by that business. The truly offensive people here.
Right.
Anyway, it was a fun time. But I thought of you because, you know, bowling alley. And also, I put an Instagram photo of the names. So if you guys want to follow me on Instagram, at Extra Life on Instagram, you can see that.
Yeah, they would not like our team name because it's named after our captain, whose name is Kurt.
Oh, no.
Our team name is Kurt Alingus. So that couple probably would
they would love that.
Would not like our team either. Yeah.
That's amazing. We're all 12 inside. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
Congratulations, Brian. The Cantina thing won. It funded. You got it.
It won the Kickstarter.
That's right. Good job. That's very exciting. Way to go.
It is. It's super exciting. And thank you, listeners. It was a huge push yesterday after we played the sampler on the show today or yesterday. And so thank you guys so much, everybody within the sound of my voice who helped contribute to that. Now you know it's going to fund. And it's funny because once it funds, all of a sudden you get this massive rush of other people like, oh, it funded. Well, now I'm going to pitch in. Like they don't understand how Kickstarter works, right? Mm-hmm. Like they think, I'm not going to donate any money until I know it's going to happen. Well, no, that's the way Kickstarter works. You won't get charged if you donate, and if you pledge and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But so now we're shooting up. We're going to maybe hit a stretch goal, which is great because we've kind of already done the stretch goal in anticipation of hoping that we'd hit it,
yeah.
Which was getting the saxophonist Brad Esau on the album. But here's the really cool thing is that by this Friday, we're going to have mixed, not mastered, but mixed tracks that everybody who has pledged $10 or more will be able to download.
Nice.
And I was talking to Andrew today. He's like, oh, let's release it on May 4th. For May the 4th be with you. And I'm like, oh no, I've already kind of promised people Friday. I can't push it now to Monday just so that we've got the little cheeky connection there.
Because it really is the worst holiday of all time, because I don't ever want to say it. I hate it. I can't stand it.
Do you really?
May the 4th be with you. And just hear yourself say it. It makes you want to slit something on yourself. I hate it.
Anyway, but
yeah.
What I may do, so one of the rewards in one of the upper levels is a USB drive, a little flash drive that contains all of Andrew Allen's music.
Yeah.
And I started looking at, you know, designing that yesterday. And started getting a little couple sketches together. What I'm going to base it on is Bespin, like the look and the feel of the Cloud City,
mm-hmm.
without a direct copy of the Cloud City.
Mm. That's pretty awesome.
I got to tell you, one of my other ideas though was going to be a have the USB drive look like a block of carbonite with the edge of a piano, the edge of a drum, and the edge of a bass guitar sticking out of it.
That's awesome. That's a really cool idea. Such a great
time. Maybe I'll do that one. That one might be.
I like that a lot. Yeah. That's really
awesome.
I'll
have to see if the what the USB drive company can do. Like if I need to design it, and it's really cool. Like me playing with this 3D printer. This is kind of like I can design something
mm-hmm.
in maybe a format that they can take and then produce the flash drives.
Sounds all right to me. That's very cool. Well, we'll see. Real quick here to give people some point of reference. The 4th, may the 4th be with you.
Yes.
Ugh, I hate saying it. It is not a modern internet convention. You may think that may have come out recently, like somebody coined that phrase in the last 10 years or something. You would be completely wrong. Reference was first used May 4th, 1979, the day Margaret Thatcher took office as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. I don't know why that matters, but anyway, her official party, the Conservatives, placed a congratulatory advertisement in the London Evening Post that said, "May the 4th be with you, Maggie. Congratulations." This reading is of the line has also been recorded in the UK Parliament Hansard, so it's actually on record.
Wow, really?
As a thing that happened then.
Interesting.
And it wasn't until 2011, though, that you started to see it pop off again as the internet tried to take ownership of it, basically. So there you go.
Huh.
May 79. I was 10 years old and didn't give a shit about world politics.
Or calendars.
All right, that's it for that. Let's call Daryl. Time for Daryl time.
Cool.
Let's see here.
It's time for Daryl time.
Uh-oh, his status has gone yellow. That could be a bad sign.
Uh-oh.
I'm sure it's fine. All right, here we go. Where's this thing? Here we go. Let's do Stump a Trek. You know what? I did the wrong music and everything. All right, it's Stump a Mash Nerd brought to you by...
Oh, yeah. This segment brought to you by The Chronicles of Hataris, a sci-fi fantasy book project on Inkshares.com. The Eltharri have returned from millennia of exile, and they are coming to destroy us all. It's going to take a dragon, an angel, a high elf, and a lot of backup to tap into an ancient well of knowledge and power and drive them back. And a caveman. We need your support to drive back the long night. Join the adventure at tiny.cc/Hataris, Hataras, and facebook.com/Hataris Chronicles.
I like it. All right, Daryl, you hear that music? It's time for this special week where
this is my bedtime.
I know it is, like 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
10 o'clock on a Friday night. Daryl, it's time for Stump a Mash Nerd. We're doing it a little different this week. Once in a lifetime opportunity to do a weeks-long set of these episodes that's all about MASH. And we're all participating, not just Daryl, but all of us.
That's right. We're all in this together.
That's right. So step on up, grab your stuff, and here we go. Daryl, here's our question. You're our MASH nerd, I guess. In the episode Germ Warfare, Trapper tells Hawkeye, so we're talking like seasons 1 through 3 somewhere, that a patient they are treating is showing signs of what disease? Here are your vague options.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this is bad.
Don't they have a disease, a different disease every episode?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
They tend to.
Oh, that episode. Oh, that,
that old chestnut. Here it is. A, tuberculosis. B, dysentery. C, typhoid. Or D, hepatitis. And I can kind of hear Trapper saying all these words. Yeah. But we need to come to some sort of consensus. Before we do, though, and again, tuberculosis, dysentery, typhoid, hepatitis. Daryl, did you prepare any today in MASH history?
Oh, I looked and searched. I didn't find anything.
Damn it! I was hoping you had something. You got nothing? You got nothing.
I got nothing.
All right, let's do
it. Larry Gelbart took a poop after eating a curry meal.
And that was just yesterday.
That was just yesterday.
Don't get us started on his time with MASH. All right, here's some must-know trivia about MASH. I got a backup because I was worried Daryl wouldn't have anything. Here's your stuff. Do you know where Hawkeye got his nickname? Does anybody know? Who knows?
Oh, well, I do remember that. There was an episode about that where he talked about that.
His father gave him the nickname. I'll give you that hint. And it was from something his father loved. Anyone have a guess? I know this is like an extra question.
Avengers 2.
Correct.
His father was a big Avengers 2 fan.
Correct. Huge Jeremy Renner fan, really. That's really where it started. No, it was from James Fenimore's Cooper's novel, famous novel, The Last of the Mohicans. Natty Bumpo is nicknamed Hawkeye in the film version of Mohicans. The character of Hawkeye is played by Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And Teketsune, by the way, in the chat room, I actually knew that.
Yeah, that one I knew. I actually kind of knew this one going in, but drink your milkshake is all I'd say about Daniel Day-Lewis. All right.
I drink your milkshake.
Here's another bit that I thought was interesting. Although there were 7 Mobile Army surgical hospitals operating during the actual Korean War, the 4077 is fictional. Hooker, author of the novel MASH, served in the 8055th MASH. The actual MASH units were 8054, 8063, 8076, 8209, 8225, and 8228. There was no 4077.
The 8063rd was, so that's the one like they're always talking about.
Oh, good point, yeah. Wait, is that in here? 8063rd, yeah. They were always having to get extra crap from there. Like Radar would have to call, what was his name, Gooby?
Send Houlihan over to the 8063rd to pick up another bottle of plasma.
He had to call Gonzo or somebody over there all the time and work out some right. kind of deal. Sparky, that's it, Sparky.
Sparky, right.
Yeah. Oh, it's all coming back to me.
Radar's buddy.
Finally, whose voice is it on the loudspeaker?
Oh, I do know this.
All right.
It is, it's a guy who also did other voices. He's a curly-haired blonde guy.
Mm-hmm.
Actor, shoot, what was his name? I want to say he's Jewish actor.
A Jewish man. Well, you'd be right about one of them. Oh, one of them. What's Scott talking about? Check this out. Although Radar and Klinger had occasionally stepped to the mic, the voice overheard on the PA in the 4077 belonged to one of 2 actors who were hired for the gig during the show's run.
Oh, really?
Sal Vicuso or
Sal Vicuso,
Vicuso, something like that. Yes. That's the Jew guy.
Yes,
that's the Jew guy. Or Todd Sussman. They both sound remarkably like one another, and each made 1 on-screen appearance during the run of the show. I don't have pictures.
Oh, really?
Of that thing. Yeah, cool though, right?
Huh. Yeah, anyway. That's very cool. Yeah, here's a picture of him right here in the chat room. Sal Vicuso. This is he was on Soap too.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, they have other ones about Radar's hand, but we know that. All right. Well, let's get back to the question then. See, Daryl, there's some trivia. Gotcha, right there. In the episode Germ Warfare, Trapper says they got a patient, blah, 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 shows the signs of one of these 4 diseases, tuberculosis, dysentery, typhoid, or hepatitis. I lean toward dysentery.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, but but it's only purely out of I can hear him say the words in my head.
I do remember them. There being an episode where they dealt with dysentery. Which of these diseases is transmitted by germs? Dysentery is.
Yeah.
Tuberculosis is
that's
bacterial?
Different. Bacterial lung thing, right? Hepatitis is viral.
Right.
Typhoid is viral. I think that's why dysentery. Well, that's not why. I hear his voice saying it, but I also agree with your more scientific approach.
I like dysentery. Yeah, I like that as an answer.
You heard it here. Brian likes dysentery. Yes,
I like dysentery.
What do you say, Daryl? Weigh in.
That sounds reasonable to me because I have no clue. And if you have more, Oh, that's good enough for me.
All right. Well, he says dysentery. Let's find out if B is correct. Here's the answer. I haven't looked at this yet. He's got logos on this and everything. The answer is number two. Oh, no. Question two. Answer is D, hepatitis. Damn it.
Oh.
I got to play this now. Hold on. Shoot. That sucks. All right. So we were incorrect, so we have to play this.
You are incorrect, and you have paid the price for your lack of vision.
I don't think I can do that anymore.
Who's doing that
that's
voice?
That's Mike. That's Ice Worm.
Is it really? Yeah. That's like a pretty dang good Darth Sidious or Darth.
It's not bad. What was his name? Yeah, Sidious.
Yeah, Ian McDermott.
Ian. Yeah, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
We think you might have hepatitis, Frank.
What are you talking about?
We took a pint of blood out of you last night.
You what?
You took his what?
We drilled for blood, we gave it to the POW, and now he shows every sign of serum hepatitis.
It takes weeks for such symptoms to appear. He probably came in here with it.
Frank!
It takes weeks for such symptoms to appear. Oh, Larry Linville, come on.
Come on, buddy. Dig deep down. Get something better out of there.
That
there
was
you go.
Season one. I should have known that.
Yeah, you're the freshest. You're the freshest off the boat here. You should have had that one, right?
Yeah.
It's all right. I've seen these episodes a billion times, and his references here are hard to follow. But that's okay. Hey, look, we can't win them all. We've got one lost one. Tomorrow's a new day. We'll see how we do then. Daryl is the Trek nerd on Twitter. There's nothing to do with Mash's name on that. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and at the Grumpy Cast, where they might talk about MASH. I don't know. Daryl, do you want to you have a game to play with us?
Why, yes.
Okay. Yeah,
this time, let's see. We'll just see how this goes. Is this a Star Trek chemical element, a MASH character, or both?
So I'm gonna translate from the lag because you had some bad lag there. Is it a MASH character or a periodic element or both? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, go for it.
Star Trek element.
Oh, Star Trek. Star Trek.
Hawkeye.
Is there a Star Trek element named Hawkeye? I think we can all agree that there is a MASH character named Hawkeye.
Yeah, so it is either both or MASH.
Right. A Hawkeye element.
This feels so either he's trying to either make it seem so crazy that it would be one that we go with that it's both because it must be to even bring it up, or that's the trick.
Exactly.
I'm counting on your professional trivia mind.
Would he ask this if it wasn't both is the question.
Right. If it wasn't both.
Right. Because I can see the Winchester element, right?
Yes. Yes. That's a fair way to put it.
Let's say both.
All right. There's nothing at stake here. We'll say both.
Right.
Well, your pride is at stake. And you still have it because it is both.
And you still have it. I love it. Nice. I love his surprise win.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Let's do some news brought to you by.
Nothing feels quite as good as helping a fellow member of the Tadpool reach for his dreams, except maybe doing it for free and getting an actual physical book out of the deal. The Life Engineered, a book about robots, is on Inkshares right now in the hopes of funding, or better yet, getting into the Sword and Laser collection. Head over to jfdubow.com/tadbooks for the link to the campaign and how to get your free copy. That's jfdubeau.com/tadbooks.
That seems like an okay idea to me.
It does.
Let's see here. Let me fix something real fast on the dock because I don't know why it just freaked out. But hey, Google, you're awesome. All right, there we go. It's all fixed now.
Oh, good. Thank goodness.
All right, well, let's see what we got. We got some stuff, some things. Okay. Apple has banned fart apps on the Apple Watch.
Oh, now, that was quick.
According to Tom Merritt and Jenny, they or Tom informed her, and then she informed me, that Apple is always banning fart apps, but I think there are fart apps you can get.
I think there are too. I think that they can't be exclusively fart apps. Maybe they have to do other things, but
maybe that's
like
it.
a sound effect app that just happens to have fart as one of the sound effects.
Right. Now that I could see getting through. Apparently, Apple is pitching the Apple Watch as a time saver, a fitness companion, and a stylish fashion accessory, but it also could be a pretty great office prank tool if the makers of Fart Watch app had their way. Fart Watch.
Fart watch.
Love it. Let's see. The app turns the Apple Watch into, or when paired to an iPhone, into a whoopee cushion for the 21st century. Place the iPhone near your intended target, wait for the opportune moment, then tap the Apple Watch to take or release fake flatulence at will. So you the phone is your speaker, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a little remote control fart machine, which
it's kind of awesome.
You can buy at the Hot Topic or Spencer's or something, I'm sure, but.
Remote, though? Could you get a cheap remote one? Well, this isn't
cheap, you probably
cheap,
can
I guess.
Get a cheap remote one.
Yeah, probably cheaper than this combo.
Cheaper than this!
Yeah, if this is why you're buying this, don't do that. according to the FartWatch developers, Apple does not see this as one big gasp. The app has been rejected from the Apple Watch store. Cult of Mac reports, let's see, Apple told the developers, "We noticed that your Apple Watch app is primarily a fart app. We do not accept fart apps on Apple Watch."
I really love the fact that it sounds like they've got a form letter that says we do not accept fart apps on Apple Watch.
Yeah, it appears your watch app is primarily a fart app,
like not flatulence,
nope.
Not you know a rude noise app, but a fart app.
Yeah, your app represents bodily functions. No, it's a straight up fart app.
Love
yo,
it. Love it.
Yeah, that's great. That's my favorite part of the story. I think is Apple's response. Here's another cool thing. Speaking of wieners, I guess we weren't talking about wieners, but mystery artist Wanksy, this is true, has been painting penises around potholes to get them fixed.
Oh, that's awesome.
Armed with a can of washable spray paint, an artist in Greater Manchester, England, has embarked on a worthy crusade to rid the region of potholes by drawing penises on them. The anonymous artist, who goes by the name Wanksy, told the Manchester Evening News that he decided to draw attention to the appalling pothole-ridden streets after some of his cyclist friends were badly injured in the roads. Says, "I wanted to attract attention to the pothole and make it memorable. Nothing seemed to do this better than a giant comedy phallus," he says. "It's all so speedy. I don't want to be on the road for long. It seems I don't have to, it seems to have become my signature. I just want people to smile and draw attention to the problem." The link. There are photos.
These are great.
Yeah. Hold on. Okay, there it is. Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
That's kind of amazing.
So and I like how the they show some patched up.
Yep.
But they haven't fully patched up, covered up the whole image.
Yeah. No, entirely. Oh, this is interesting, though. Apparently some have gone. Yeah, you're right. They've patched up the holes as a response, but they didn't get rid of the wash. It's a washable spray paint, so they could clean it if they wanted to.
I guess, yeah.
Huh.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
And then the photo, if you keep going, is a little disturbing, by the way.
Which one? The last one, the hot dogs?
Yeah, I don't like to see that. That middle dog is making me nervous.
That is a middle hot dog, isn't it? So if the Banksy documentary is called Exit Through the Gift Shop, what is the Wanksy documentary called?
Exit Through the...
Cleo, point opportunity. Points opportunity.
Yeah, here's your chance, guys. Thursday's coming fast, so
that's right.
Get her going there. California burglar.
California burglar.
What's his power, Brian?
Well, he steals your stuff, and then he takes the 405 down to the 10, and then there's a little bit of traffic, and then he goes over to the 205, and oh, that one's all backed up, so Excelsior.
You just describe why I hate California. Hate California. He would be a villain. Let's see. Sidetracked by tater tots. So check this out. Police say would-be burglar, got sidetracked by snacks and a comfy place to snooze, heating up some tater tots and taking a nap on the sofa of a house he broke into. San Francisco Chronicle reports that a homeowner in Petaluma, California, going by the name...
Is he in the Twit Cottage?
I knew you were going to go there.
A burglar broke into a house in Petaluma, looked for a drobo.
Yeah, heard the alarm. Drobo, drobo, drobo. Went downstairs to find a man asleep on her sofa on Thursday. The woman rushed to her bedroom, called police, and then ran out the front door. She woke the man, who fled out the back. Officers parked on the next street, spotted him, and tried to handcuff him. They used a stun gun on him twice. When he resisted, police said he was not injured. The Placerville man, is being held on $30,000 bail. And has a criminal history, including arrest for drug and weapons possession. I feel like there are more and more stories now of dude breaking into home, goes to the fridge, fries up something, eats it, sure. hangs around. Like, what is that about? That's a weird trend.
Pot is legal in a few states, in a couple states around the country.
Good point. It's not too far.
Totally breaking that house, man. I know it's not legal in California, but
well, you could make it down from Washington State pretty easily. Sure.
Yeah,
or just up the coast.
Break into a house every day.
Every day. Anyway, that just seems crazy. I'm like, if I was a, I'm trying to think, if I was a professional burglar type man, I don't know that I would, I don't know. I guess you're right about your description. See, in my head, everybody's like a fancy cat burglar with like rules and principles and
a little black mask that just covers their eyes. And,
Yeah. And they come in, they strategically, like a surgeon, do what they have to do, and then they get out, and they never get caught, and they grow old, like, what's that,
Franken-Robot,
and then just get a little itchy at the end to do it again, and they get a robot to help them. Like, that's how I have it in my head. But apparently, it's mostly just, like, potheads and like, drug addicts, right?
Yeah, they're bad burglars. drug addicts and potheads make bad burglars.
This is the truth. Bad burglar.
Bad burglars.
Let's see here. We got a story about... Oh, this is gross. All right. To our UK listeners, I present this. For the rest of us, feel good about where you live at the moment. A 10-ton wad of congealed fat and sanitary products have blocked the London sewer. 40-meter lump. That's a great band name.
40-meter lump. Yeah. That's my...
I would do that.
It's my Russell Crowe frontman cover band.
A 40-meter lump of wet pipes and fat, or wet wipes. Sorry, there's no wet pipes. wet wipes and fat is so heavy that it broke a sewer in West London. Stephen Hunt, a repair and maintenance supervisor, almost said survivor, which may be appropriate, at Thames, I guess how you pronounce it, right? Like you know what I learned about that river? It was from Benny Hill. That's how I learned about it.
Oh, really?
Because the little logo at the end would say, you know, you had the whole show, which was like nurses and boobs and him running around
chasing
fast.
Chasing to Yakety Sax, right?
Yep. And then at the end, they'd show, or maybe it was the beginning, but they'd show like the big clock tower, old Ben or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they would show this river and it would say like Thames Productions or something.
Hmm.
And I, as a kid, would say Thames, right? Because that's what it looked like.
Right, looks like Thames. There's somebody actually, Archineer, just put a link in the chat room to
let's
it.
Let's take a look
It's got
that.
The little reflection of...
oh, yeah, here it is. Yep. Play it. Oh, this is totally it. So it's just Thames. But it looks like Thames. And as a kid, I'd say Thames. And in fact, I think I walked around the house singing, Thames! I'm going to live forever! Exactly. for real, I think I did that. Oh, yeah. There's a lot less Big Ben in that than I thought, that logo. Interesting. Okay. Well, anyways. This guy who was overseeing the Fatberg's removal.
Mm-hmm.
The Fatberg's removal?
Fatberg. It's an iceberg. It's like an iceberg, but it's a Fatberg.
Gross.
It's even better.
Said the size was staggering.
Fatberg.
He's I get a sandwich in the dumpster. he said the size was staggering. Quote, we see blockages all the time on household sewer pipes, which are about big enough for a cricket ball to pass through. But to have this much damage on a sewer, almost a meter in diameter, is mind-boggling. And they spelled meter M-E-T-R-E, like weirdos.
Weirdos.
The original quote, the original sewer has been so badly abused by fat being chucked down the plug hole. The plug hole! That's just like your sink with a little plugger in it, right?
Fat chucked down the plug hole.
Another great band name.
Another great band name. This
down the plug hole. That's it. That's right. The band right there.
Down the plug hole.
System of the Down cover band. We had to opt for the time-consuming and disruptive option of replacing many meters of pipe, or metries, as he dumbly says. that's really gross. Is there a photo of this? I didn't look.
Oh, if there is, I don't want to see it.
That's your ultimate in thick and liquid, dude. Oh, my gross.
Oh, yeah. I'm not clicking the link. Not going to do it.
Oh, that is foul. I can't even. Okay. I can't look at that.
Pants fan might have won the points by saying the Wanksy documentary is going to be called Exit Through the Plug Hole.
Yep. Cleo, come on.
Yeah.
Pipe points.
You
get some pipe points. Today's episode brought to you by our friends over there, our eternal friends at tweakedaudio.com, making great earbuds and accessories forever for us. Man, they've been with us for a long time. I want to say 2012, 2011,
yeah.
Maybe.
Even.
Yeah. Yeah, been a long time. And we love them. Go check out the great styles on display over at tweakedaudio.com. Earbuds you can be proud to wear in public or wherever you may listen to podcasts, music, talk, whatever. Whatever you're listening to, they're going to sound great in your ears. Engineered for durability, noise reduction, and compatibility. Go to tweakedaudio.com right now and get a lifetime warrantied pair for 33% off by using the code STREAM at checkout. That's at tweakedaudio.com. Oh, good news. SoundCloud is out of beta for their podcasting program. People can sign up for
really?
That now. Yeah. I've been doing it on their beta program for a long time, kind of closed beta.
Might have to check that out.
And I have loved it. I do not have a single bad thing to say about my experience with SoundCloud.
I wonder if they'll be, they'll be able to, if I can email them my license, proof of licenses for the ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC, because I know that's...
Oh, right, that's an issue, right.
Yeah, it could be an issue with, has been an issue with YouTube, so we'll see if it's an issue with them.
I wonder about that. But they've been really good to me with this, and I've really enjoyed it. And if you're a podcaster and you're looking for a solution like that, they may be the one to get. I mean, it's not a free service, so it's, you got to pay, but... It's worth
right.
it, I think.
But, it expands your audience. Like, there's so many people out there who are used to looking on SoundCloud for stuff that having a show on there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, people
can't hurt.
People are always surprised. They'll say, wait, you have sound, are you, all your shows are on SoundCloud? I'm like, yeah, why didn't you tell me this earlier? I love SoundCloud. I use it all the time. I'm like, oh, all right. Well, yeah, we use it. So for those who didn't know, we've been using it for a long time. You just go to, what's my home one? Hold on. That's kind of lame, my name on it. It's linked in lots of places, but you can go to soundcloud.com/scott-johnson-27. They set it up for me. It
wasn't 27.
Me. Sadly, they emailed me and said, hey, we want to put you on part of this program. Here's your username. I'm like, oh, I hate that name. But that's fine.
Why'd they come up with 27? Thanks a lot, SoundCloud.
Yeah, it was really weird. Yeah. I don't know why. Anyway. But it's been good. It's nice to hear they're out of that thing.
That's cool.
Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, Justin Robert Young will be here. Bill's not here. He's doing something for his brother's class, helping him out with some school things, so he will not be here today. However, Justin will be. I told him it'd be early, so expect him shortly. Before all that, Brian brought music. What did you bring?
Bill's got a whole classroom of kids cutting foam rubber sheets down for his next costume.
Perfect.
All right. How about something going out to Ishmael or Trudge in the Tadpool? Dear Scott and Brian, I left work early on Friday only to find my dog and best friend of 10 years had passed away from what seems to be heart issues. Aww. Jack had been a huge support to me as I've been dealing with depression for the past year. He was 120 pounds of love and compassion. And as someone who was not too social, Jack was my best friend. And to say I'll miss him does not begin to describe how heartbroken I am at his passing. Signed, Ishmael.
Oh, no one, oh, dude, I hate that. Dogs
I
are
do
the best.
Too. They
I'm,
are.
I
they
am
really
so
are.
Attached to freaking Rainer now. Right now, though, something happened to her, I'd be so upset.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, Ruby and Daisy, just after I read this email, I went up and I gave them both big hugs and cuddles for a while. Oh. there have been a lot of songs about dogs or even just with dog in the title, like I Want to Be Your Dog by Iggy Pop and stuff like that. But I wanted to go more along the lines of Jack, the dog's name, Jack. And, because there's some songs out there that are just heartbreaking too, that would have just kind of added to this, like, Shannon by Henry Gross. Never going to play that for somebody who, just lost a pet.
Yeah.
But let's do Jack. Let's focus on Jack and, the song Happy Jack, by The Who. It's not about a dog, but it's about a guy named Jack. However, it can be kind of applied to a dog. It's one of those great songs that The Who released that is not very Who sounding, right? It's not like I Can See for Miles or Pinball Wizard. It was a much different sound for them. And the band Life in General included this on their album, The Lovely, Lovely Singing, and kind of kept it pretty straight and did really, really true to the original version. With a little bit of their sound kind of influenced. Happy Jack, performed here by Life in General from their album, The Lovely, Lovely Singing.
Happy Jack wasn't tall, but he was a man. He lived in the sand at the Isle of Man. The kids all would sing, he would take the wrong key. So they rode on his head in a furry donkey. The kids couldn't hurt Jack, they tried, tried, tried. They dropped things on his back, they lied, 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 lied. They couldn't stop Jack or the waters lapping. And they couldn't prevent Jack from. Jack or the water's lapping, and they couldn't prevent Jack from feeling happy.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Right now, your Nissan dealer is saying yes to great deals on new cars from Sentras and Stanzas to the awesome 300ZX. And Nissan is now making it even easier to own a new truck by saying
yes
to 5.7 Nissan-sponsored financing or save with $500 cash back from Nissan. So, come on down to your Nissan dealer now, because he's going to say yes! The name is Nissan.
Address bar. What is that? Some kind of singles joint? Like, hi, welcome to the address bar. How are you?
You dump the morning into the stream, and there are many flavors that you can get. This is the morning stream.
All right, that address bar guy made me laugh.
Address bar?
What's that?
Oh,
the 90s. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I like that song a lot. It was short and sweet, man.
Yeah, and it's fun. You know, it's a happy song.
Yeah, I liked it. Well, here we are. Let us join our hands together as we try to get Justin Robert Young on the line.
Wow.
Talk to him.
Let's do that.
He has things to do and say, I assume. I don't know. Sometimes we don't know what we're going to talk about. He's traveling. I think he's somewhere on the east side of this nation. He's in the eastern time zone, I believe.
Is he? Okay. God, well, I hope he's not in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, don't be in Baltimore. We don't want that. All right, here's this. We'll play his little thing. Where is it? Here it is.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
On the line, Justin Robert Young, hailing from where the hell are you today?
I am from Eden, North Carolina.
Oh, lovely. Well, that's a nice place.
Oh, right, right. We were talking about this last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I made it.
Yeah.
What major metropolis is Eden closest to?
Yeah.
Greensboro. Greensboro, oh, okay. North Carolina.
I love Greensboro. There's a great record store I bought. I had to go out there for the Greensboro Times and Record, I think is the newspaper.
Newspaper, yeah.
Found a great record store right by the newspaper. I'm sure it's not around because that was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's when people read newspapers and magazines.
So. I went down to the telegraph operator after passing him.
Nice. So Eden, though, it sounds like a sleepy little town. Is it not? Is it big and full of gangsters? What's it like there? What's happening?
I don't think big or full of gangsters would be an appropriate description for the lovely windswept hamlet of Eden, North Carolina. No, it's a It's a quiet little town.
Yeah.
It's got it is rich in chains though. Mm. I am awash in Walmarts and Pizza Huts and Ruby Tuesdays.
Oh, really? So food chains and retail chains.
So here's where my stereotypic mind went though when you said chains. Because we okay. were just talking about gangster rap. Or gangsters generally. I was thinking of gangster rappers, you know, NWA okay. and whatnot. And I was thinking chains, the way that, you know, Run DMC might have chains around their neck.
Like,
so when
like
you said
fat gold ropes?
Yeah, fat gold ropes. So when you said
clocks on them.
I'm awash in chains, I thought, oh, everyone's rocking around with like they all look like Run or DMC in that place.
One or the other.
I don't know why my head went there, but it did. But that sounds like here. There's a lot of chains here as well. That's probably. I'm guessing that's a big family town. Lots of families and kids and stuff. That's usually what drives a strong franchise based economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would assume so. I guess like there's. I don't know. I mean, really, I've sat in this Hampton Inn and with only occasions to go across the street to the Ruby Tuesdays for the last like 3 days. So I'm a little.
Oh God, look, their salad bar.
Here,
yeah, right. Ugh.
By the way, a salad bar not only at the Ruby Tuesdays across the parking lot, but also at the Pizza Hut right next to the hotel. I have a double salad bar option single day.
That sneeze
salad
guard has been there
throw
since
a
the
rock
80s.
And hit a salad bar.
Yes, exactly. So are you, well, what's going on in your world? What's happening? What's on your mind? Because there's always something on your mind. There's always something spilling off the edges and making everybody all wet. Yeah.
Man, was there something weird? Oh, we never talked about the podcast award.
Oh, if you want, we're going to bring up that one again, are we? All right, let's do it. Let's do it.
Podcast awards wrap-up time.
It's not weird, and I promise today I will not rail, because I'm still trying to get information, but I will not rail on this new podcast.com fiasco that all the podcasters are pissed about.
Oh, yeah, what is that? What's the deal with that?
Well,
I haven't heard about that at all.
So even though I said I won't talk about it, let me tell you about it real quick. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
They appear to be, at first glance, a website that popped up, somebodyownpodcast.com. It's popped up and suddenly all my shows, or not all of them, but a bunch of my shows are there, a bunch of other people's shows are up there, and just sort of showed up. And the assumption was, initially, it was like, oh, it's just a directory. Like, they're just, you know, pulling RSS feeds like iTunes would or anyone else would, and are just having a listing of shows.
Yeah.
But a closer inspection shows that what might be happening. And I again, some of this stuff is a little bit of rumor mixed with we're not sure because they have weird redirects going with files and stuff. So, and they're not being super straightforward about it, nor are they asking anyone's permission, but they are telling everyone. Their entire Twitter feed is nothing but replies saying you can remove your show by going to this link.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Because I went, I saw that you and Bryce, who works with us, were bitching about it. And I'm like, what the hot hell's going on here?
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere. But what it appears to be is perhaps somebody taking, what it appears to be is them taking everybody's content and aggregating it there and then maybe pulling a Stitcher, which is like throwing ad content in there, or at least have plans to that not everyone's files are being pulled from their source, so you can't track these. There's no way to know if you're getting hits on shows based on their polls because they're hosting mirror files. What? They copied
of
yours.
Hold on. Wait, they're downloading your content?
Well, that's what Stitcher does, for those who aren't aware how Stitcher works, too. So Stitcher does that same thing, and there was a big outcry about that. The Nerdist threatened to pull his shows from there or something. I can't remember what the deal was at the time. It was a big hubbub.
But you have to list with Stitcher.
Correct.
Like, there are podcasts that are not on Stitcher because you have to be the originator of the content and go on there and say, I want to be a part of your ecosystem.
Exactly.
It seems like what I was able to gather in your Twitter back and forth is podcast.com just sees themselves as Google, right?
That's how, like, that's what they're claiming. Yeah. In fact, they keep doing that. They keep replying to people saying, well, we're just like Google. Like, well, then we have Google. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And they're doing it without anyone's permission. And I asked them on Twitter, well, why didn't you ask or just anything? Reach out in any kind of way, and no reply. So it all is a little shady regardless. Like, they're just not being open. They're not asking anybody for permission. They're just doing it.
Well, I mean, but like they if they are just an aggregating website, then it really doesn't matter. Like, as long as it's being served from where we want it to be served from and they're not putting ads on top of it.
And those are the two questions that are happening. And the word is that the ads aren't there yet, but they have plans to. And I don't know where people are getting that, but that's one bunch of talk. The other bit is still a little bit dubious, but it seems like they are doing the thing you just said they shouldn't do, which is they're taking the files and hosting them somewhere else, and I'll never know the wiser about how many hits they're getting over there or anything else about it. And it may be, yeah. You know, look, it may be, they may have a great plan, and in 6 months it's a hot place to get podcasts. I don't know. But they're not working with creators at all. They're just aggregating it and possibly just moving it to their servers. And maybe it'll end up being nothing and no one will care, and the backlash has been pretty severe. So it's not like nobody's just sitting there watching it happening. So either they've got to respond to that in some kind of PR-friendly way, or they're going to go away. So I'm not that worried about it, but it's strange. That's all.
Well, you got to imagine the reason why they don't ask is because they don't want everything to go away. Mm-hmm. Like they don't want, in the course of 7 emails, their entire business model and all the work they've done on the site to be gone.
Yeah.
So it's like, either you are signing up for that, like in the Stitcher model, theoretically, where like you have to understand that these relationships exist or your business doesn't, mm-hmm. or you just say, all right, well, we're just an automated thing. I mean,
take everything and let people reach out to us and say, don't do mine, as opposed to apply.
I mean, cause like my gut says like, I mean, whatever. Like, you know, if they have it listed there and it's another place where people can access our stuff, then that, I guess that's fine. If they are doing ads, that's annoying. I would think about pulling stuff off at that point. Although, when you really think about it, it's like, we're really going to start slapping each other over, you know, the 15 cents we'd probably get in our, you know, whatever an agreed upon cut would be for a randomly generated, you know, CPM audio billboard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, look at this here. I got you. Let me fill you in on a bit of an update.
All right.
When I first went to the site,
all right,
it looked like iTunes top 10 shows. There was all kinds of stuff you all know and recognize. My, you know, a bunch of stuff from The Moth and TED, and, you know, it filled its pages. And there was no other text on here. It was just like, click here to do this, click here to do that. Now, I go to podcast.com, and there's a big bunch of text at the top that says, we provide users with 100% free hosting, so they want to host your shows, too.
Oh.
Also, an easily searchable public podcast from around the web. Our site's index provides users with the ability to search and discover new and favorite podcasts. It works to ensure that all tracking analytics are provided to the podcaster. So this is all new language.
Well, hold on a second. How are you getting that? When I go to podcast.com, I get one of those pages that comes up like when you go to a page that has been bought and it's just using it as like kind of a...
Oh, are you podcasts with an S?
No, I'm doing just podcasts.
It's podcasts.
With an S. Yeah. That's why. Okay.
Yeah. So then below that, though, here's the bit that matters. They say twice, to remove a podcast from our website, please click the link below and allow 24 hours for the changes to take effect. So they are very upfront now. This didn't used to be anywhere on here. They're very much upfront about saying, hey, want to remove your thing? Go ahead. There you go. And most of what they list now are things that, these may be fine shows, but Talk to Me in Korean, My Wife Hates Me, the Dewey Smith Jr. Pastor podcast, like... Mm. Jamal Bryant pod, like, this is not the listing I saw 3 days ago is what I'm getting at. So I'm just saying, I don't know what's happening exactly, and it's very unclear to me, but this is on them. Their message is weird. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Here's something that I don't know if I should be happy or offended by, but nothing comes up when you search for
CoverGirl. Oh.
They haven't even stolen my crap yet.
Oh.
Do I not rate? Did I not just win a podcast award?
Let's see if the instance is still there. Now, if it's been removed, they did that on their own. Oh, no, it's still there. The weird bit is they're using old album art that I haven't had on the feed in about 4 years, 5 years.
Yeah, the Night Attack art looks really weird.
Yeah, so that makes me feel like they're...
Well, yeah, TVZ Gone asked if the Sex with Emily show is in there. So I did a quick search for Sex with Emily, and sure, it is in there, but nothing in there more recent than October 21st, 2014.
Yeah, let's see. Weird.
It's like they're grabbing old feeds or something.
Well, I see. What's their last page? No, she goes back to 2012 if you hit last page on there. She has, it's paginated, so if you just look down below there, the top four there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see 1, 2, 3, 4. You see that down there on her page?
So then, like,
no,
what do
I'm not
we
saying.
Weird.
I mean, like, what's the plan of action with something like this? You know, you have a bunch of ne'er-do-wells that are doing crazy stuff with your content. Like, do we just write a strongly worded tweet?
Well, see, this is, okay, it's an interesting point. And I know people hate podcasts where they talk about podcasting, but I want to make this point.
Mm-hmm.
We are at a stage, and Brian, I just put you a link showing those page numbers down there. I don't know if there's
showing up on yours or not. Oh, okay, let me see that.
I feel like we're at a stage now where these are kinds of issues we have to, as independent developer, independent creators, have to start dealing with, or at least we think we do, and maybe we don't. But, you know, traditional media, they've got lawyers and they've got content, you know, protection of all kinds and sorts, and they have ways of doing that, and they've had to build that into their business, and it's both a cost and a benefit. It's all these things that they've had to do, and we're still Wild West in it out here, where there is no. There is nobody trying to get my still and steal my hooch, but you know, as my little town of you know, dirt water Texas grows, I'm going to have to start thinking about that, because somebody else may have some grand idea about how he can sell everyone's hooch and not have to pay anybody a dime. So I don't know. I feel like it feels untread a little bit, even though a lot of it has been tread in traditional media. We just haven't had to tread it yet.
Yeah, and there is something, by the way, I saw the link you sent. There's something hinky with the way they're grabbing their feed, because even with the instance, it stops, it goes to episode 333 and then stops and then goes to episode 402A. So there's nothing between July 2013 and February 2015.
And I see what you're saying about hers. Hers ends in 2014. You're totally right.
And hers just gets older the further back you go. So.
Oh, that's weird.
What's also weird is there's no, there's only... There are no 5 stars on your instance. There should be 5. There should be 5 stars all the way.
Let me rate it and see if it makes me sign in. Oh,
it's broken. It's only giving 4 stars.
It's totally busted.
Yeah, I got this. I just tried to rate it 4 stars. It says the page at www.podcast.com says you can only rate each podcast once. I haven't rated any. Okay. Well,
so
whatever.
They don't have any ads on here. I mean, here's the thing. It's like, do we want to say no? Take our stuff off of here.
Well, ads. You mean on the page or ads in the shows? Because the ads in the show ads are what I'm worried about.
Oh,
the way Stitcher does it. So let's see if they've done that yet. Let's play an episode.
Hey guys, you already know that we're
so far no pre-roll.
Just your ad.
Let's see if there's any mid-roll. Hold on. No, it's too slow. Test. Oh, that's Turkson.
No, it's not. It's not anything. Think past that.
All right. No, that's just Terpster being annoying. Let's go to the end. Okay. Here we go.
Wondered why you are finding.
No, nope, that's just Miss Mulgra. Everything's fine. So I that part is, again, I haven't had any independent confirmation of that, but there was everybody going, they're going to put ads on these things, and it's going to be like
and
Stitcher.
That's the thing. If you allow it now and they turn around and say, okay, now we're putting ads on the page, we're going to make money from people going here to get your content, then, you know, then, you've almost set the precedent to say, okay, we'll let you do that. Oh, no, now we're not going to let you do that.
Yeah. So who knows? So. I don't know. The part, I'll just say this. It isn't any of this is a problem necessarily in their own way or whatever or combined. They're not communicating with anybody about anything. And their Twitter feed is nothing but telling people how they can unsubscribe their shows. Right. So.
Well, and also, isn't it kind of weird that their site looks bad and they're not like framing pictures correctly, and it just looks like it remember that site for a while that was like legally quote unquote selling music, but it was in Russia, and so you could just like you could get like all these like Beatles albums legally for like, you know, some ridiculous
MP3 Fiesta, I think is what it was called.
That was it. It feels like that.
Well, they're run by
the MP3 Fiesta of podcasting.
They're owned by something called Emerge Media. Their tagline is changing the world. And then they say translating the world one at a time, one word at a time, entertaining the world one person at a time, navigating the world one person at a time. Like, they keep repeating this one person at a time thing. We're on a mission, taking the essential roots of everyday tasks and breathing new life into them. What the hell is this? I feel like I'm looking at that. What was that thing from Better Off Ted? What was the company, Brian, where they do the fake commercials for Better Off Ted?
Yes, yes.
That was so funny. Freaking.
I can't remember.
Dynamics. Whatever the hell it was.
Right.
My point is, it feels like one of these companies is like, we're worried about our future and ecological. Like an EA, like a Phillips 66 commercial that talks about saving seals or something. Right. It's like, what do you even do? What do you do? So anyway, I'm not trying to be too judgmental. And
no, of course.
You just want to protect your stuff and communicate with those who may have good ideas. I'm open to all that stuff, man. It's the Wild West. Let's do this. But say something to us, like talk to us. And maybe in their heads they're thinking, well, there are too many shows. We can't.
We can't reach out to everybody.
No, I mean, well, that's what it is. Is they want to be a full podcast aggregate destination, you know, immediately. There's only really one logical way to do that, which is to get stuff. I think their bigger messaging problem is that anybody who contacts them, they should be very upfront and forward about, hey, we pulled this automatically. Here's how you get it unlisted. But just so you know, we either are or are not going to have ads. If we do have ads, we'd like to cut you in for this percentage. Like, just be upfront about either what you will or won't do, and whatever you will do, just let us know what the terms are.
Yeah, it's weird. It's funky. And like, at least like in the Stitcher case, they have almost the exact same potential model and apps to support it and everything else. And by the way, these guys do have an app on the iOS store. I haven't used it, but it's up there. Some player app. They approached everybody and said, do you want to do it or not? And you either said yes or no. And they had people assigned to do that. I had a rep there who came to me and asked. And that was honestly all I kind of needed. It's weird how much leverage that would give them, because I just went, well, yeah, you guys have some good exposure and I can see the benefits. The way you've explained it to me makes sense to me. And I made an educated decision. In this case, I don't have any decision making because it was made for me. So that's the difference.
Although I would say if they don't, and for all we know, all we've heard is rumor about it. If they don't plan on putting ads there and it's just another website that's pulling feeds and stuff like that, I don't know. Like if I got the no ads guarantee from them, I don't know if it would be that big of a deal to have it there.
No, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, if we were to get that sort of guarantee from them, for sure.
Because
yeah.
I'm not. I don't want to ever limit where. Like, if you've got 1,000 new ways to have my content there, sign me up. That'd be great. Right. Just be honest with me about the conditions and the circumstances in which it happens, and don't just up and pull it out and then not say anything. That's all it is to me. It's as simple as that, because, you know, the next thing I hear about, you know, these Apple watches, let's say, or Android watches, or somebody comes out and says, we've got the perfect ultimate way to listen to audio content or whatever on watches. Do you want to be a part of this? Yes, of course I do.
Sure.
But you can't say, we will remove your nipple one at a time and eat them in front of you and then kill your children. like you can't do that. You have to give us the circumstances and then let us decide.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. Sorry, you were going to say something about the awards, and I got all wrapped up in this podcast.com thing. What were you going to say? Do you remember?
Oh, no. I didn't know. I mean, I just wanted to... I think the last time that we talked about the awards was the day of the award ceremony, and we were kind of cautious. You know, I think we had the over-under at 3. We swept it. I just want to get a big high five for everybody. Good job.
Yeah.
It's all bots, you know. It's all done with bots.
Right.
Did you guys actually listen to that?
No, I have it. Dodd Vickers sent me a link to it. I need to listen to it.
What was it from?
It is so not a thing. It's less than a thing.
Was this the Curry thing?
The Adam Curry thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
no,
I haven't
no.
heard it either. Yeah.
No, Adam. No, no, no. So it's No Agenda. It's like the first like 10 minutes of it. Basically Adam Curry. Is a little as I kind of thought. As soon as Brian told me that he was there and he got singled out, I knew having him not win anything would be something that might, you know, rub him the wrong way. And he certainly seemed a little wrong way rubbed. But yeah, no, it's an offhanded thing that Dvorak makes, like an offhanded comment about bots. Like, it really has nothing to do with what we did. I mean, the only thing that Curry said, which I do disagree, is that part of the reason why everybody turned out so hard to vote for the Night Attack and Daily Tech News Show stuff, at the very least, was anti-Twit or anti-Leo sentiment.
I don't agree with that.
I think it probably played a part, but like not as much as being reminded, having an audience that's reminded 2 or 3 times daily through various different mediums with a you know, a very easy way to record your vote. Like, I think that probably had more to do with it. Than,
yeah. My bigger problem is, even if he's just talking about the listeners, if he wants to levy that against them, my problem with that conversation would be some of that you're inferring is laid at the feet of, say, Tom Merritt, who's maybe at the pinnacle of the not at Twit anymore thing. And Tom has never once said a single negative thing anywhere at all about any of it anywhere publicly, right, at all. Like, he is his last name should be Tom High Road. Get rid of Merritt, because he's really been like the ultimate gentleman in that exchange in every freaking possible way. Like, it's untouchably clean. And
I mean,
that inference bugs me.
I know for a fact that I have said far more publicly harsh things on account of Tom than Tom has said for himself.
Right,
certainly.
Right. Right. He took that road from the beginning and always will, and doesn't harbor, you know, he's just trying to do what Tom does, which is make really great content. He doesn't do it on the back of resentment or any of this other stuff. So if any of that's being levied at anybody, it definitely shouldn't be Tom.
No. Sure. I think they were not, you know, intending anything to be harsh. You know, it was, I think that was just Adam. I mean, listen, if Adam Curry believes that, you know, we won all the awards because of resentment for Leo, it would not be in the top five of crazy theories that guy has said publicly on the internet. So it would be an honor to fit amongst, Adam Curry's conspiracy theories.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, so in the end of it, in the smoke of it all, in the dust, in the debris, the bottom line is we won everything, damn it. So take that.
Oh, we got them all.
No, we're not. We don't have that kind of pride. The only pride I have about it, honestly, my entire pride volume is split between Brian's willingness to get up in a funny hat and be that guy. And how awesome our audiences are collectively,
exactly,
and the support they showed.
That is what it all comes down to. It's multiplication. It's simple math. Your number of not the size of your audience, but the size of the audience that is devoted to supporting you like this.
It's not how long your audience is. It's how thick they are. Sometimes it's not how long, but how thick. Right? Is that what you're telling me?
That's right. Okay. How thick?
I hear
you can multiply
preferred.
That times the number of votes, yep, times the number of days, and yep, that's what gets you the award. And because Serial had to have a bigger audience than most of the shows up there that won.
Every show,
but
up there.
Serial also didn't have a podcast that came out between when they were nominated and when the award ceremony was, because I guarantee you that if they had one episode that said,
"Vote for us,"
yeah, hey, we're up for a podcast award, you should do bop bop bleep bop, then everybody would have gotten blown out. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, the question is even like, what is that one day blast for Serial, or that one episode blast for Serial, versus what we could do every single day, you know, through the collective audience? It was really rad. It was so amazing to watch, and I regretted, even afterward, because I was never going to be able to make it for the ceremony, right, but I had a outside shot to make it to Vegas by midnight, understanding that I would have had to leave Vegas by like noon the next day.
Oh, that would have been rough.
But I felt a little, a little upset that I didn't get to hang out with you guys to bask in the glow.
Yeah, the best thing ever was the obvious. It was Schwid obviously just scrambling in his head to think anybody connected with this thing. Because in my mind, he's thinking to himself, well, of course, Justin's, it's our show. We are one. We are the same. We are the body of the, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then to see him sprint back up there and go, well, shit, what am I thinking? You know, that was amazing. That was amazing. That was better than if he just remembered up front, I thought. Because
he was covering me from last year, where I forgot to thank you, Scott. He's doing a cover.
Yeah, but see, I understand this. This is a thing that anybody would do. Exactly. Like, it's all the lights, the pressure, the Jericho, the whatnot. You know,
right?
Like
the Emily sex.
Everyone's gonna forget everything. That's the job of this.
It totally
is.
Yeah, that's why I had the first time up there. I had to have my notes on my phone of like, you know, what I wanted to say. And it's funny. I wrote that while they were doing the business podcasting award.
Yeah.
Like, oh crap, if I win, I don't know what I'm going to say. I better type something up.
Yeah, I mean, you got it. Like, how many directors have forgotten to thank the right people when they win Oscars? Yeah. It always happens. It's just the way it is. But
so let me ask you guys real quick. Last question here about the podcast.
All right, great. Then we'll put this to its bed, to the grave it belongs in. All right, go ahead.
You think maybe you go with some hosts that have listened to podcasts?
Besides their own?
I mean, like, listen, they were great. But the problem, I mean, like anybody who's like, oh, they suck. Like, you really have no idea how hard it is to do that job and how uncomfortable it is to just stand up on the stage and, you know, kind of read stuff that you might have gone over once while a bunch of people that you don't know or have any connection to are having these moments right next to you. Like, it's really,
it's
really
brutal.
Hard.
Like, some of the funniest people alive have hosted Oscars and bombed.
Yeah.
Some of the funniest people on earth who do stage, who do stand up, who know the, you know, who know how to do a crowd. There's something about award shows that puts you to the ultimate crappy test.
It really is, because you've got to come up with bits that are going to be funny, not just to you, but to all the different segments in the audience. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the people who know indie podcasts, the people who know the big name podcasts, who are tuning in on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
So
it'd probably be good if Jericho didn't make like anti transgender comments up there. But other than that, he was pretty harmless. That was kind of off a little off.
Anti religion stuff too.
And, yeah. They enjoyed that. Anyway, sorry, Justin, go ahead.
Well, I guess like maybe next year you do like one, because I think that it's good to have a famous person, right? Mm-hmm. Like as a part of it and as the nominal host, but just have them come out, do a monologue, mm-hmm. right? And then have like kind of a sub host that actually has a sense of at least, you know, because when you have 10 nominees or 8 nominees, like it's hard to know all of them, but at least you could have somebody who knew of half of them.
Sure.
Right?
At least just the ones in their category. No, you're exactly right. The next day, the day after the podcast awards, they had the IAWTV awards, the internet something of web TV or something like that. Yeah. But it was another awards thing. And they had David H. Lawrence the 17th, who did the podcast awards the year before, as the umbrella host, and came out and did a I didn't see it, but he came out, did monologue just as you described. And then previous winners or other web TV hosts came out and did each category. And I think that would be the way to do this.
Mm-hmm. And he was great, I thought. David Lawrence, by the
when
way, like
the,
last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, we did the podcast awards. He was great.
He was good. And he was totally thrown master. Into it last minute because Dr. Drew wasn't there. And just I thought he did a fine job. So it can be done. It's just a hard thing. And I don't know, man, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Bottom line is everybody wants some conglomeration of all of us to do it next year. I don't see how that happens.
Everybody listens to this show wants some conglomeration of us to do it.
That's true. Nobody outside of our group does. And the reason, even if it's a good idea that we did, we'd have to bow out of all these nominations. You can't, because we just control every damn category.
What? Yeah. No, hell no. That would be great.
You can't, but look,
I'm with Jury. I'm totally with Jury. Oh, this will save me from having to get up from my table.
Oh, look who wins. It's us. Hooray.
We would be hated till the ends of the podcasting earth. They would salt the earth after killing us. It would be terrible.
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be awful. Just to make a mockery of it. It'd be hilarious.
This does seem like a thing you would enjoy. Messing around with some. Speaking of which, how's that book doing? You guys are killing it with that. What's going on with that?
Oh yeah. Thank you to everybody who bought it. It was, I think it certainly cracked the top 10 in both Amazon and iTunes in self-help. I think we have declared victory on it. It was very, very exciting, and you can still get it. ChetPage.com, ChetPaige.com.
This either makes me lose faith in humanity or gain faith in humanity, and I'm not sure which. The fact that you guys can do this to two genres, two venerable genres, erotic adult fiction and self-help is just insane to me. Like, is Tony Robbins gnashing his teeth so hard they're not as white as they were before he found out about it? Like, how bad must this be for some people who think that is a very, you know, important, legitimate category? And I guess I suppose it is. It's not like it's a bad category, but
oh no,
I love that you guys did it. But at the same time, somebody bought that thinking it was real. You know what I mean? And they think
There's the legitimate one star reviews are starting to trickle in. And, you know,
for people who discovered it organically.
One of them's like, don't buy this if you want real self help. This is just comedy. To which I say, I don't know, man. Live your life. I'm not going to tell you.
Who says that comedy can't help you?
Exactly. You know, I feel like that's a real closed-minded way to live, bro.
Jeez, yeah. No kidding.
Can't live like that. Not for too much longer. It's always.
So there we go. Yeah. The journey available still. ChetPage.com.
Nice. Anything else going on in this world that you'd like to let people know about?
No, I don't think so. I'm starting to. I'm coming to the end of a big road trip. Actually, I'm kind of in the middle of it. I come back to San Francisco and then Florida, then Austin, then Dallas, and then I think I'm home for a few days. And then
good.
I go to Chicago.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how you do it. You are one of the hardest working people I know. And you might say to that, well, I'm on a plane a lot and stuck in a Days Inn a lot. But still, that kind of schedule, dude.
it's pretty silly.
I don't know how
it
you
is,
do it.
It is a silly time.
Where are you going to be for Avengers? Where are you going to end up having to see that?
I might be able to see that in Florida.
Oh, all right, back home.
Yeah,
yeah. Florida in man sees Avengers 2 will be the headline
in Florida.
Exactly. No, I'm actually. What's it called? I'm on my. This is my new. Apparently, my new favorite thing is to experience wrestling events with co-hosts of The Angry Chicken.
Oh, wonderful!
It's Dills was over to watch WrestleMania.
Yeah,
I'm going to Tampa and I'm going to go see a wrestling show with Garrett and his fiance. So I guess I need to head somewhere to
Canada, right?
Yeah, Nova Scotia.
Sling picks with Jocelyn, and that'll complete the set.
Well, we'll get her. She's coming under tacular. You just need to throw down with Ice Warm or something in the hallway, and you can have your own wrestling match. Right
I think
there.
That'll complete the trifecta. But
perfect.
No, yeah, I think that'll be for Avengers. And then other than that, who knows? I don't know. And this is like a crazy, like season. We got the big. Oh, we got the big Daily Tech News Show. Crazy cast tonight, right?
Yeah, tonight's the night. It'll be, we should let people know, it's going to be, oh crap, I already forgot the time. Where did I put it?
6 o'clock. It'll be 6 o'clock East Coast time, 3 o'clock Pacific time.
4 o'clock my time, yeah, that's it.
4 o'clock in the only time zone that matters.
Right. It should be fun. Everybody will be there. You, Patrick, me, Veronica, Tom, Jenny, who else? Roger. Who am I missing? Somebody else. Oh,
Darren
Kitchen. Darren. Yeah, Darren will be there. It's going to be, it'll be rad. So looking forward to that very much.
Very cool.
This afternoon. So
I'll be listening.
That. Yeah, good. All right. Well, there you go. It's Justin R. Young on Twitter. Always a man about town. Justin, have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Still need to beat him with my Hunter deck.
Oh, beat him.
I've got like a 9-game winning streak going.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening there. Well, I know what's happening.
I'll need to know what your Hunter deck looks like because I keep getting beat with mine.
Dills made me one and I kind of dominate with it now. So
nice.
It supposedly can take you to legendary if you're good enough. It's extremely cheap and you know, doesn't take a bunch of weird cards. It's good.
Screenshot me a thing from your deck management deal.
I will do that.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to send you that.
Cool. Thank you.
I got some calls for us. We're going to play these real quick.
Yay.
And they are not brought to us by anybody, but they are brought to you straight from the horse's mouth. Here's a horse right here with something from his mouth.
Hey, Scott. My name's Matt. I'm an accounting student at the University of Idaho. Go Vandals. And I hate when Daryl called in yesterday. I hate that you are using the, oh, don't we just love Linda getting the donuts from accounting. Just the, play the trope sound. Okay? Everybody in the office for humor-related incidents is not from accounting. All right? Why not marketing, PR, HR? Come on. Love the show, though. Bye.
He knows it's right, though, that it's from accounting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Accounting,
it's
for sure.
It's Linda from accounting.
Because marketing, you know, all right, marketing, huh? But accounting, huh?
Yeah. It's a weird thing about comedic things. Like, some things just sound funnier, and for whatever reason, the accounting one works. So we're sticking to it, Idaho, by the way.
It's for the same reason that rutabaga will always be funnier than potato.
Exactly. Or, that's another one.
Kalamazoo, way funnier than Chicago.
Yeah, donkey, funnier than horse.
Yep, exactly.
You can come up with a million examples.
Mm-hmm.
He's listened to the show or to the instance since he was in junior high school, so he's now in college. So
he should know this then.
Think about that. That's crazy. We're old.
Go form a cell. Go formula an Excel spreadsheet.
There you go. Do that.
I don't know.
Accounting.
I know. It's not a verb.
Get with Linda in accounting. She'll help you. All right. Here's what did I called this What Did He Hear? And I don't know what it is. So here, here we go.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is Sean from Michigan calling about GMS 808. I just kind of had a question. During the mid-show song, was I the only one that heard Toddy Hard and not Party Hard? Or was that just me?
So did you know the song?
It's the song. It's Party Hard by the folk British folk group. I gotta pull it up here.
Okay.
The Lounge Kittens.
Oh, okay.
When we like to party, we will party hard.
And he thinks they said Toddy Hard.
Toddy Hard. Hmm. I was thinking it was Potty Hard.
Oh, Potty
Hard. I heard that a lot too.
Well, that's possible. Their accents and whatnot. But yeah, thanks for letting us know about that. Final call about Furious 7 and why we should not see it.
Scott and Brian, this is Matt from over in Noblesville, Indiana. I was listening to the morning stream for Tuesday, and I heard you talking about wanting to watch the Fast and Furious movies. Recently, I saw this new Fast and Furious movie, Fast and Furious 7. I don't want to warn you against it. It's a bunch of crap. Love the show, though. Thanks. Bye.
All right.
That's all we're going to get is it's a bunch of crap.
It's sold. He seems to be among the minority, though. That movie is reviewing well by both people and reviewers. So I think we'll end up seeing it. So Nick went and saw it. I didn't know this, but my daughter Taylor came, picked him up for a midnight movie one night. While I was busy with some other stuff, and I didn't even know they went. So Nick snuck out and saw the thing before we even had a chance to consume 4, 5, and 6.
Wow.
So our plan now is still going to do 4, 5, and 6, but no dice on seeing the 7th one with me. I'm going to take Kim or something. So let that be a lesson to you young boys trying to shaft your father.
Ha ha, joke's on you.
Take that, Nick. All right, I need to test a button. Tell me what happens here. Can you hear me? No.
Ouch.
Did it go blank just then?
I didn't hear any change.
Here, I'll do this. Like that?
Still heard you just fine. The whole time? Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. Sorry. I have to experiment
later. No,
that's
all right. I'll figure it out. I'm here for tests.
Brian, let's go for tests. Let's be out. Let's be done.
Okay.
Screw you, insurance business. Second of all, frogpants.com/TMS is a website you can frequent to find all our stuff, our links and whatever. By the way, thanks for all the feedback and comments yesterday. You got your shows immediately after I posted them. That felt really good to not have a 3-hour cache or more for these things. So that was nice. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Our phone number, 801-471-0462. Will send us a voicemail, which we'll gladly play on the show. At Twitter, find us at Morning Stream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville.
Coverville. That's the our sub-site.
That's the one.
Our umbrella corporation.
Yeah, find it at podcasts.com. That's it. I think we're done. Let's do some music. You got anything for us?
I do. This one actually was going to be last week, but I had to move to this week. Tom wrote in and said, "Hello, Brian. My 44th birthday is April 17th, and while no one else will request a song for me, I'm taking upon myself to do so. I would love to hear, if at all possible, a cover of John Denver's Take Me to Tomorrow, preferably Dave Matthews' rendition from The Music Is You, a tribute to the John Denver album," or a tribute to John Denver. "I tippeth my hat to you, good sir." Signed, Tom Walter. Well, sure. Absolutely. It's actually a really good version, too. And happy to play it for you. Yeah, as you mentioned, came out a couple of years ago on a tribute to John Denver called The Music Is You. Guess what? There is a cover of Thank God I'm a Country Boy on there, which, you know, great song. Take Me to Tomorrow, performed here by Dave Matthews.
All right. We'll take you guys tomorrow as well. We'll have a regular show tomorrow, so be back. Recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, all kinds of fun stuff on Wednesday. So thanks for being here. We'll see you then.
Everybody, tell me, how do you feel?
satisfied with your life, do you think it's real? Oh, tell me, how is your head? What are your dreams? Do you have any plans? Come up with any scheming? Do you care about anybody? I'd like to know, do you care about anybody? What is the answer? Won't you be old? Oh, take me to tomorrow, take me there today. I have my fill of sorrow of living this way. Oh, take me to tomorrow, that's where I'd like to be. Oh, the day after tomorrow is waiting for me. Yeah, the day after tomorrow is waiting for me. Yeah, the day after tomorrow is waiting for me. What's on your mind? Do you think there's nowhere else to go with nothing left to find? Are you happy where you are? Do you have anything to share? Oh, do you think you're gonna waste your life spending it here? Yeah. Would you like to find a way? Do you think it's worth a try? I'd like to know, yeah. What is the answer? Maybe so. What is your answer? Maybe so. Take me to tomorrow, take me there today. I've had my fill of sorrow living this way. Take me to tomorrow, it's where I'd like to be. Cause the day after tomorrow is waiting for me. Yeah, after tomorrow is waiting for me. Every day after tomorrow is waiting for me. Oh, take me to tomorrow, take me there today. I've had my fill of sorrow living this way. Take me to tomorrow, that's where I'd like to be. Oh, the day after tomorrow is waiting for me. Every day after tomorrow is waiting for me. Oh, the day after tomorrow is waiting for me. There's a way. Oh, day after tomorrow is waiting for me. Our day after tomorrow is waiting for me. Our day after tomorrow is waiting for me.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
The next suggestion might seem obvious. Be seductive.